Protéger la propriété intellectuelle de nos industriels.
Le droit d'auteur.
Technology intellectual property.
R2PI. R2PI, le podcast de la propriété intellectuelle.
Chers auditeurs, chères auditrices, bienvenue sur R2PI, votre podcast de propriété intellectuelle. Ici, on parle de pays, on en parle entre amis, mais surtout, on vous en parle. Aujourd'hui, retrouvez un membre de notre équipe pour un épisode de Le Labo. Bonne écoute.
Well, hello everyone. We are pleased to have today a very special guest on the podcast, the president of the Community Plant Variety Office since February 2022, Mr. Francesco Mattina. Hello, Mr. Mattina.
Hello.
So, thank you very much for doing this podcast with us. Maybe to introduce you, you are a lawyer, specialized in European law and IP law also. You have held various positions at the CPVO before becoming the president of the office. And maybe before talking specifically about the office and the subject of this episode about the plant variety and biodiversity, perhaps a few words about you, about your background, maybe.
Yes, so as you said, I'm a lawyer by training. I studied law and then I got a specialization in intellectual property rights. I have done work in courts in the member state, so in enforcement of intellectual property rights. And then I decided to move into the public sector. And in the CPVO, I'm working in the CPVO since 10 years now. So with different roles, I have been head of the legal affairs, then vice president, and currently, as you said, president of this agency.
Okay, thank you very much. And maybe just a few words also, what made you want to work in this particular field of IP, in the plant varieties? Did you ever think when you were a student to work in that field?
Honestly, not really. It was not very known domain. When you study intellectual property, there is no much in this area, but I was always rather passionate of agriculture and nature and science, and this was the triggering point to move into this field.
Okay, I understand. Well, now we know you better. Maybe a few words about your office, the Community Plant Variety Office, which is based in Angers, in France. In a concrete way, what is Community Plant Variety Rights and why it is important, particularly, what is a plant variety?
Yes, so what is a Community Plant Variety Right? Well, it's a form, a specific form of intellectual property right, which is recognized in the European Union. What is the real function of this right? It grants the breeder. The breeder could be anyone, a person or an entity that develops a new variety, and it grants to this person an exclusive control over the commercial use of the variety for a certain period of time. So what does it mean? It means that for a certain duration, which is the duration of the protection, no one can produce or sell or make use of the protected variety without the permission of the breeder. So finally, as intellectual property right, the aim is to encourage the development of new and improved plant varieties, making sure that the breeders can get a return on their investment. So this is very relevant in terms of promotion of innovation and promotion of diversity in agriculture and horticulture. And these elements are very important and crucial for food security, for environmental sustainability and adaptation to climate change. So, in essence, by protecting plant variety rights, The system incentivizes the creation of new varieties, new improved varieties, that, for example, can yield more, produce, can be resistant to diseases and pests, and can adapt to different climates and different soil conditions.
And maybe can you provide a tangible example of a plant variety and also maybe of a breeder? Is there some breeders that everybody knows which are not IP lawyers?
So plant variety is a notion that belongs to botany in a way. And it refers to a grouping, a plant grouping. So let's say a group of individuals within a certain category, a botanical taxon. And this category can be defined by a number of characteristics which result from a given genotype, so DNA of the plants, which can be distinguished between groups, at least by one characteristic. And tangible examples, where there are so many examples that we can face every day. I don't know, I'm thinking, for example, at apples. You may be familiar with Gala groups of apples, Fuji, for example, Granny Smith. And these varieties can be, some of these varieties can be also very famous for consumers, because of their taste, because of their color, or because of other characteristics. When, for taking another example, think of tomato varieties. There are plenty of different tomato varieties on the markets. There are the cherry tomatoes that we eat for salads and snacks. The beefsteak tomatoes, a cuore di bue, for example, that we use for sandwiches, etc. When we look into the ornamental varieties, there are so many diversity for colors, for sizes, bloom periods. I don't know, think at the roses, for example, or the tulips. These are all different types of varieties.
How can we, can a breeder obtain protectable variety today before the office?
Yes. So there are many different methods that a plant breeder can use to develop a new variety. In a way, we can look at traditional methods, so the selection of the parents of a variety. What does it mean? It means choosing plants which have desirable characteristics and then breeding them over multiple generations. Then there is crossing. You can mix varieties that have different combination of traits, and this can lead to a further improved generation which retain, let's say, the best of the parents, just to simplify this notion. And then, of course, there is also genetic engineering. There is nowadays possibilities, advanced possibilities of manipulating the DNA of plants to introduce new traits according to the desired aim of a breeding program. For example, if the objective is to introduce a disease resistance into a certain variety, well, studying the DNA of the plants make possible these developments.
Okay. Well, we were just talking about the office. And what can you tell us about that, about this office based in Angers?
Yes, the office is the CPVO, is an agency of the European Union. We are totally self-financed. We offer our service, which means protecting new varieties with an intellectual property right. Applicants can apply for protection, and they have to pay fees for the request of protection. The agency is independent, has legal personality, as you said, is based in France, in the city of Angers. We have about 50 staff members representing 14 nationalities among Europe, among the member states, and we cover the whole process of examination when we receive an application. So we examine the suitability of the application and then decide whether the variety application can proceed for further testing.
Okay, and when you're looking at the suitability of application, on what requirements you're based to tell to a breeder that his variety can be protected by a CPVR? Yes. Or cannot be protected?
Yes, there are several criteria. We will check if the variety is new. So one of the criteria mm-hmm. is novelty. Novelty means that the variety should not be sold within certain time limits before the application date. So before the application is sent to us, the variety should not have been sold outside certain time limits. Then there are other criteria, which are the distinction, the uniformity and stability. So each new variety must be clearly distinguishable from any other variety which is of common knowledge. It has to be sufficiently uniform in all the relevant characteristics, and it has to be stable. So the characteristics of the variety. So let's take the famous apple Granny Smith, has to remain consistent any generation. So anytime there is a new generation, the same characteristics must be observed in that variety. So just to make a very simple example, if the Granny Smith characteristic of the color of green is a specific characteristic for that variety, obviously you have to observe the same green color any generation of that variety.
Okay.
If you find that the variety is not any longer green but red, then we have a problem. Of course.
And how much time does the office take to deliver? It depends.
It depends on the species. For fruits, it takes longer. Because trees are more complex living organisms, let's say like that. And for other species, such as flowers, so ornamental in general, mm-hmm. it takes much shorter.
Okay. And what does the CPVR, what rights does a CPVR confer to the breeder once he has his certificate? Yes. What can he do and what can he forbid?
So the right is the community plum variety right. It confers on the title holder, so the breeder, a set of exclusive rights regarding, in essence, the propagation and the commercialization of the protected variety within the European Union. So this means that the breeder can have a return on the investment in the development of new and improved plum varieties. I will not give you the full list of the rights,
sure.
But just to give you an example, production or reproduction of the protected variety, it's an act that requires the authorization of the owner of the right. The offering for sale, so selling the material of the variety, let's take the example once again of the fruit tree, so the seedlings, so the trees of the variety. This has to be authorized by the owner of the right. Other marketing activities as well has to be authorized. Export of the material to other territories or import into the EU also request the authorization of the holder of the right.
Okay, which are classics rights for in IP law,
yes.
Which is common to trademarks, patents, etc. Okay, thank you for that introduction about the CPVO, the CPVR. Now we have a more comprehensive overview of plant variety law. Let's maybe talk about this specific topic about biodiversity and IP law. Well, we are facing several emergencies. Erosion of biodiversity is one of those problems. How does plant variety can contribute addressing global challenges, such as you talk about it before, food security and also ecological emergencies?
So the plant variety rights, like the one that we implement in the EU, for sure play a significant role in addressing the global challenges, as you said, food security, economic development, ecological emergencies that are due to the climate change events. And but in practice, if I may give you a couple of examples. So when we think of contributing to food security, what does it mean in practice? For example, enhancing the crop yield and the quality of the harvests by providing breeders with a high incentive to develop new varieties, the system facilitates the creation of plants that produce better yield, more stable yield, and have better nutritional qualities. And this is important and crucial for the necessity of feeding a global growing population. Mm-hmm. We also made already the example of the resistances to disease and to pest. New varieties can be bred to resist new emerging pests and diseases, and this will in turn reduce the need for chemical inputs, for pesticides, mm-hmm. and it will also improve crop resilience, which is very important under the necessity to lead the transition into a more sustainable agriculture. Another example is the adaptation to climate change. Breeders can develop varieties that can resist to extreme weather conditions, being in drought or heat or flooding. We have seen this phenomena more and more in Europe in the last years. So the adaptation to this kind of stress is essential to maintain food production as climate patterns will change more and more. There are also factors that have an impact on economic development because this system creates financial incentive for researchers, for companies to invest. And this will also create new jobs in contributing to economic growth in the agricultural sector. Also, I think that there is also a good impact on farmers, because new varieties, better varieties adapted under their climatic condition can increase the farmer's productivity, the farmer's income, by, for example, reducing the crop losses and improving the quality of their produce. So this economic benefit can be very significant also in developing countries where the agriculture is a major part of economy. And finally, also promoting diversity and promoting a broader choice on the market for consumers, because this clearly enriches the offers that consumers can choose in terms of food products. For example, products with more improved quality nutritions. Improve quantity of vitamins and things that you can easily find in final products. So these are only some of the examples that can help facing the challenges that you have mentioned before. There are also other examples in terms of biodiversity. When we breed and we reach a wide range of varieties, of course, this has an impact in conservation of plant genetic resources, and biodiversity is key to ecosystem resilience and adaptability. Also, in terms of sustainable practices in agriculture, having new varieties that require, for example, less water, less fertilizers or less pesticides can contribute to develop more sustainable agricultural practice that can also have a good impact in reducing the environmental footprint of farming. Finally, carbon sequestration, developing varieties that are better at sequestering carbon can contribute to mitigate also climate change. So you see, there are many different domains where the system can actually contribute towards these challenges.
So many applications for new plant varieties. The certificate will enable biologists and researchers to protect the fruits of their researches, their investments, having led them to create varieties that have a positive impact on environmental and social issues, such as food security, as you said, such as biodiversity, climate change, for example. But isn't it problematic, maybe, to give a private right over elements of biodiversity, such as plant varieties, to legal entities or individuals? And what about monetizing nature?
Well, I think that all these matters, all these issues require some clarification of some common misconceptions. Let's dig a little bit into these issues. So I would say that it's very important to understand how the protection of intellectual property on new and improved varieties under the system, such as the European system, is designed with multiple safeguards, with multiple intentions that aim to balance innovation with biodiversity conservation and equitable access. So I would say that under the common perception, one of the major, let's say, concern might be, okay, but plant variety rights instead of enlarging biodiversity can reduce biodiversity. No, I would say that plant variety rights encourage the development of new varieties. They contribute to agricultural biodiversity because you add to the pool of genetic resources which is available to farmers. So by making available a mechanism that stimulates innovation, you can introduce diversified varieties and you can make a broader choice for farmers to choose among varieties. Another important consideration is the fact that the system includes very important exceptions. For example, the breeder exemption, which allows the free use of protected varieties for further breeding, and therefore encouraging innovation and diversity. Now, you mentioned in your question the monetization of nature. So I don't think we should speak of monetization of nature, but we should really stress the incentive and recognition of investment in the contribution given by breeders to agriculture and horticultural advancements. So these rights are not indefinite in time, these are limited in time, allowing breeders to recap their investment and to be able to reinvest in further research. So after the protection expires, and I would also like to underline that for many variety rights, they will never reach the end of the protection. So the breeder will surrender the rights much, much earlier.
And what is the average length of protection when it doesn't run its full term?
So normally it depends on the species. I cannot give you a standard answer, but it could be a few years or half of the duration of the species. For certain species, it will go until the end, but typically it's shorter.
Okay.
So what does it mean? It means that the variety enters in the public domain, and being in the public domain, everyone can use it freely. No need to pay anything, no need to ask for the authorization, etc. It's just free. So there is a kind of a balance that we have to find between the contribution of the breeder with the long-term public interest in maintaining biodiversity and, first of all, and also to maintain access to plant genetic resources. Also, there is a misconception that this can have a negative impact on local communities and especially on developing countries.
Sure, the local communities that can use some plant varieties.
Yes.
And can be that can be protected by a breeder from another country.
Yes, they can use it. Of course, if the variety is protected, it will be the breeder who should decide under which conditions the variety can be exploited by farmers. However, we have to consider also another exception to the system, which is called the farmer privilege, which is implementable under national law, national conditions, allowing farmers to save and use the seeds from their harvest for planting in their own holdings in subsequent seasons. So there are systems that can balance also the practice of small and local farmers. For example, in the European Union, small farmers will not have to pay anything for the practice of farm safe seed. And the definition of a small farmer can vary from jurisdiction to jurisdiction, from country to country. So it's the choice of the country to implement a farm safe seed practice and to define the limits in the country according to the agricultural situation of the country. So this is also very important to underline. And also, when we speak of protection, we don't have to confuse varieties which are traditional varieties or varieties that have been grown but are not protected by IP. So they are completely outside of the scope of protection. What can be protected is only new and improved varieties that fulfill the criteria that we said before, so novelty, distinctness, uniformity, and stability.
Okay, so we could say that the system seems to contain the means to fight against the illicit appropriation of varieties covered by traditional knowledge or genetic resource to fight against biopiracy. And so, does the CPVO can play a role against biopiracy?
The CPVO, I think we can play a role in recognizing the importance of improving the choice for farmers to choose among different varieties and encourage the breeding of new varieties. So, varieties that can especially adapt to different environmental conditions and can contribute to the objective of sustainability in agriculture. So we have already stressed the importance of making available a wide range of plant varieties means providing farmers with the possibility to choose. And that's crucially important. And at the same time, safeguarding the investment of the breeders. And also keeping investment active also, not only in commercially high demand crops, but also in lesser known and underutilized species. So this diversification of cultivars enriches agricultural biodiversity, providing options for different crops that can grow in different environments and under very much changing climate conditions.
And so I wanted to talk about this before, but what can we say about the differences between the patent system and the plant variety system regarding biodiversity?
So I would say that patents and plant variety rights, these are two different systems of intellectual property. They serve different aspects of intellectual property protection in this domain. And and both can contribute to innovation in different ways. So as we said, the plant variety right is a specific intellectual property system which is very much designed and structured on new plant varieties to fulfill the characteristics of agricultural innovations. We have said that patents can cover a wide range of inventions. So it's inventions, it can also cover biotechnological processes, genetic sequences, and inventions, by definition, have to fulfill the so-called patentability criteria. So in terms of patentability, we have the novelty, the inventive step, and the industrial application. Patents may offer a stronger protection, broader protection, but the patent system do not include the specific exemptions which we have found in the plant variety right system, such as, for example, the breeder exemption. When we look at plant variety rights, we protect the whole plant variety as a unique entity. So, and we do it looking at the phenotypic characteristic of the variety. So, in practice, what the plant looks like and how it grows, right? When we look at patents, we protect inventions. So, as I said, it could be a genetic modification, a sequence in the DNA, a new breeding technique, and the criteria are rather different from those that we request for plant variety rights.
And what about the exemptions?
Plant variety system has a number of exceptions. There are compulsory exceptions and optional exception. The most important exception is the breeder exemptions. We have already discussed this. These allow the breeding of new varieties, making use of the material of protected varieties without having to pay royalties or to ask for the consent of the owner of the protected variety.
Which is wider than the
which is what much does wider the
patent.
If you compare it with patent law, you don't have this exemption. Under the unitary patent agreement, the mechanism of that has established the so-called unitary patent, there is a so-called limited breeder exemption, which means that the breeding of the variety, so the creation of the variety is possible. However, for the commercialization of the variety, once you have reached it, if a protected variety was used, it is necessary to ask for the authorization of the owner of the previous variety. Another important exemption is a research exemption, which somehow is also present in the patent system, the research exemption, and also the private and non-commercial use exemption, which allow the use of a variety for non-commercial purposes. I don't know.
So the use of a local community can
for
enter
example,
in this?
For example, it could be under this category, or it could be, I don't know, an amateur gardener who does not make any commercial exploitation, who does not sell anything, or it is just used for his own consumption, his own family use. I mean, these are all exemptions that are compulsory in the plant variety system. On the other side, we mentioned the farm safe seed exemption, the agricultural exemption, which is not compulsory, and it is to be decided by each country if and to what extent it has to be implemented. For example, if it has to be restricted to certain species, like in the European Union, it's for cereals, it's for potatoes, it's for fodder plants, it's in sectors where there is also a tradition of saving seeds by farmers. And also other conditions could be what should be the amount of remuneration paid for farm safe seeds to the holder of the variety. Typically, at least in the EU, it's 50% of what would be paid in terms of a royalty if they had to pay a royalty, right? All these criteria, you see, can be adapted according to the local agricultural practice of a country.
And the list of exemption is closed, is written in the law, or is subject to change?
No, in our case, it's written in the law. Yeah. So if we want to change that, we have to change the law.
Okay.
So today it's a list limited to certain number of species. But nothing excludes that if we are going to revise this legislation, we could revise the list.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Martina, for this discussion on the role of the Office on plant varieties and their impact on biodiversity. Thank you.
Merci d'avoir écouté R2PI, un podcast proposé par le CEPI. Retrouvez notre actualité sur le site du podcast et sur nos comptes Twitter, Instagram et LinkedIn. Les liens sont en description d'épisode. Vous pouvez également nous écrire par email à l'adresse r2pi.contact@gmail.com. À la semaine prochaine.